Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. We are two lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. Dvorim Shein Oisin, Limila B'Shabbos. Although there are things that we cannot do for the sake of Bris Mila on Shabbos, Oisin Lo B'Yom Tov, but we may do them on Yom Tov. For instance, Shoichikin Lo Kamoin, we can go ahead and grind. Kamoin is this cumin, a spice used as a refuah for the Bris Mila. So we can do that on Yom Tov, although it involves a malach of grinding. V'torfen lo yayin v'shemen, we can go ahead and mix together wine with oil to place on the wound. So this is allowed on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. What's the pshat here? How do you explain this? Ma'ishna kamoin b'yom tov. How could you allow grinding this kamoin on Yom Tov? D'chazer l'kadero, since it's suitable to be placed as a seasoning into a kadero, into a pot. So it is characterized as a malach of eichel nefesh, food preparation, although he's not using it for seasoning purposes. Nevertheless, this malacha, by definition, has a din of Eichel Nefesh, as we will be Ezra Shem learn in Seches Beitzah. So something which is characterized as a food preparation, Eichel Nefesh, can be used, even if you're not actually using it for the sake of food. So that explains why he can go ahead and grind this kamoin for the sake of Bris Mila. So he said, Yain v'shemen, chazei nami b'shabbos l'chayla. Likewise, when it comes to mixing the yain v'shemen, why can't he do it for the bris? Chazei nami b'shabbos. It is also suitable on Shabbos l'chayla, for the sake of a person who's ill, a person who's not a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, his life not in danger. He's ill, but he's ein b'sakana. Nevertheless, we find in a brisa that this is certainly allowed. One can go ahead and mix the wine with the oil. As you will see, the sanya and the brisa, one may not mix together wine with oil for the sake of a chayla. So this is the sheet of a Tanakama. Omer Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Rav Meir. So he said, Neimar Rav Meir, Af Toifin Yain V'Shemen. One may go ahead and even mix together wine with oil for the sake of an ill person. Apparently, he holds, Rav Meir holds, that wine and oil, it's not considered to be preparing a medicine. The Isser of preparing medicine on Shabbos only applies to a case where it's clear and it's evident, it's obvious that it's being done for a fuah, in which case a chachamim prohibited for concern that a person might go ahead and grind together the ingredients for the medicine, which involves a malacha. But it's only something which is nikar. It needs to be visible and evident that it's for a fuah. But mixing together plain wine, plain oil, these things are regarded as ordinary foodstuffs, beverages which healthy people consume. It's not considered to be necessarily a refuah, and therefore one can go ahead and mix these two things together. So this is Shita Rav Meir. Continues the Brais. Omer Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Pam achas, there was a time that Chosh Rav Meir had a stomach ailment. Ubikashnu litrof lo yayin v'shemen. And we wanted to mix for him wine and oil for the sake of a refuah for him, and he didn't allow us to do it. Now this is in contrast with his own opinion stated earlier that he allows mixing wine and oil. So we questioned him, we asked him, how come you don't let us do this? Your own words will become nullified in your own lifetime, meaning you allow this, how come now you're preventing it? Amar Lona, so he responded to us, even though I hold one way, my friends hold differently. I never had the notion in my entire life to transgress the words of my friends. So Rav Meir didn't want to actually do in something which was disputed by his chaver. Says the Gemara, okay, it was something that he was machmer, who knew the machmer Hashem? It was something that he applied a stringency to himself. Aval kulin al mashari, but apparently he didn't retract, he didn't backtrack from his opinion. It was something that he himself was going to be particular about, since his chaverim, his friends, his colleagues disagreed with him. But the halacha, the simple halacha is that one can go ahead and mix wine and oil. Aval kulin al mashari. Now, if this is the sheet of Rav Meir, how is this compatible with our Mishnah? So our Mishnah says one cannot go ahead and mix wine with oil, and we know that Stam Masnisen Rameir, an anonymous Mishnah, is stated according to the Shita, is compatible with the Shita of Rav Meir. So how do these two things go hand in hand? So this is the kasha that Abaye asked Rav Yosef. How come we don't allow mixing wine and oil? Since we find the Brisa that one may do it for the sake of a chayla, apparently it's not considered to be preparing a remedy, preparing a refuah. It's considered to be just standard ingredients which are eaten by healthy people. So there's no concern. Said Rav Yosef, there's a big difference. Hasam lo boy leka. In the Brisa, which allows mixing the wine and oil, we're speaking about doesn't require vigorous mixing. So he's simply putting these two items together. He's not creating something new, creating a refuah, and therefore it's mut. Hacha, however, by us, by the bris milah, bo'i leka, needs to be vigorously mixed together. In which case, it's as though he's fashioning something, he's creating something new. It's apparent that he's doing a refuah, and therefore it's awesome. Says the marachinami, here as well. Let him go and mix it together without vigorously mixing it. Why can't he go ahead and just do that and use it for his bris? So why is the Mishnah prohibit? So he said, Hainu diktani, indeed, that's exactly what the Mishnah means when it says, Noisin zebifnei atzmai, vizebifnei atzmai. You can place each one independently. Mishnah merely is saying, you can't actually vigorously mix them together and emulsify it and create this new form, this mixture of wine and oil together. However, you can put each one on its own. It doesn't mean literally independently. It means he simply mixes it together loosely without vigorously mixing it, in which case he's simply putting together wine and oil. It's not apparent that it's being done for remedial purposes, and therefore certainly it would be mutter. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learn Tana Brais. Ein mesanen esachar, dol mesanen shaloi. One cannot go ahead on Yom Tov, this is speaking, he can't go ahead and sift the chardel, the mustard, in its sifter, in which the preferred portion stays in the sifter, and the less preferred portion falls through, because it's considered like beirer, like doing the malacha of a separation. So you can't do that. Likewise, you can't go and sweeten the mustard with a gachelus, with a coal. They used to extinguish a coal in the mustard to sweeten it. So you can't do that on Yom Tov either. Omalei Abayla Rav Yosef. How do you understand this halach? Maishna mahadisnan. Why is this different than which what we learned in the Mishnah? Noisnim beitza b'misnanen shel chardel. One may go ahead and place an egg in this sieve of chardel, of mustard. Although the egg is being sifted by the sifter. Amalei hasam le'mechzik b'ir. In that case, it doesn't appear like b'ir. It doesn't appear like he's separating, like he's choosing. Why? So Rashi says that the entire egg actually goes through the sifter and nothing stays there. And apparently they use the sifter simply to distribute the egg throughout the mustard. So the point there is that it doesn't appear like b'ir, so there's no problem. However, hacha, in the case of mustard, since he's separating two portions, two parts of the mustard, mechzik b'ir, it appears like b'ir, and therefore he cannot do it. Now Jesus explains that the Gemara is very specific. It's mechzik b'ir, it looks, it appears like b'ir. Why isn't it actual b'ir? Says Tosafos that it's not actually b'ir because both portions of the mustard are roi l'achila, are edible. He's simply separating a more preferred portion from a less preferred element. So it's not really b'ir, it's merely mechzik b'ir, it appears like b'ir, and therefore he should not do it. Continues the Gemara, ve'im imat k'noisi b'gacheles. So we learned that extinguishing a gacheles to be mematik, to sweeten the mustard, is aser. V'atanya, but haven't we learned, me'mat k'noisi b'gacheles? One can sweeten the mustard by extinguishing a gacheles, a coal, into it. Says him like kasha, it's not a kasha, it's not difficult. It depends what type of coal we're using here. Like kasha kan begacheles shel mateches, kan begacheles shel eitz. If we're speaking about a gacheles, a coal of a metal coal, in which case the mateches, when it gets extinguished, Rashi says, it's not really considered extinguishing. It's simply going from a higher state of heat to a lower state of heat. However, when we speak about a gacheles shel eitz, a burning piece of wood, a coal of wood, when he extinguishes that turns into a charcoal. The fire gets extinguished, and it has a din of a kibui. There's a fire there which got extinguished, and therefore he cannot do that, even if he's doing it in order to sweeten his mustard. But by the gachel shel materas, by this metal coal, there's no concern, since there is no real extinguishing taking place. Omri Abaye l'Rav Yosef. So you don't allow extinguishing. If so, maishno mibisra agumri. Why is this different than roasting basar meat agumri on coals, in which the juice of the meat drips down and extinguishes, puts out the coals? How can you do that on Yom Tov? Omar Lacy told him, hasam le'efshar. In that case, there's no viable alternative to prepare fresh meat on Yom Tov. This is the only way to do it, and therefore, apparently the Torah allows this to be done. Hocha, in our case of mustard, efshar, there's an easy option. He can do it before Yom Tov. So it's not something which is necessarily need to be done on Yom Tov, and therefore, he cannot do that. Omri Abaye l'Rav Yosef, ma'olah gabin, may one form cheese on Yom Tov? Omri asur, no, he can't. Ma'ishno melisha, why is this different than kneading dough to prepare bread on Yom Tov? Why is that allowed and this not? Amar lei, so he told him the same answer, hasam lei efshar. In the case of lisha, of preparing dough for bread, there's no other option. There's no alternative to preparing fresh bread on Yom Tov. Hacha efshar, but in this case, he can simply prepare the cheese before Yom Tov. You don't need to have fresh cheese as you would like to have fresh bread. Says the Gemara of Amri Nadoi, didn't Nadoi say Gvina bas yoyim amalya? Gvina, which was made today, fresh cheese, is great, is good. Apparently, fresh cheese is better than older cheese. So this would be a justification to do the melacha on Yom Tov. So he said, no, hachika amri. This is what they meant to say. Afta filu, gvina basoim amali. Even fresh cheese is good, but certainly, one-day-old cheese is even better. Therefore, since there's an easy alternative to do it before Yom Tov, there's no allowance to do this melacha on Yom Tov. So in summary, we learned that on Yom Tov, one may not place the mustard in the mesanenes, in that sieve, in that sifter. It appears like he's doing beirer. One may not extinguish a gacheles shel eitz because he's extinguishing, he's doing a machaba into his mustard. And likewise, he cannot go ahead and form that cheese since he can simply do it before Yom Tov. What may he do on Yom Tov? He can go crush the kamein, the skumin spice, even though he's doing it for the sake of bris milah, since it can be used as seasoning inside his dish. One may go ahead and mix together, even vigorously, the yayin v'shemen. And Farshim say that apparently on Yom Tov there's no issa to prepare refuah. One may place the baits of the egg in the mesanel shel chardal. It doesn't appear like boyer. Rashi says it all goes through. One may roast his meat on coals because there's no other alternative to preparing fresh meat on Yom Tov. And likewise, regarding kneading the dough for the fresh bread. On Shabbos, one may not go ahead and vigorously mix together the wine and the oil. In a case where he's not vigorously mixing it together, Rav Meir holds it's mutter, and indeed the Gemara concluded that is the intent of our Mishnah, that he places them separately, meaning he mixes them, but he does not vigorously mix them together to create this new entity, which appears like a medicine. Continues the Gemara, in Oysen L'Cholok, Omar Abaye, so we're speaking about this bandage, this pouch, which they used to fashion for the bris milah to hold everything in place. Omar Abaye is going to give us some information, some advice that he heard from Aim. Aim actually wasn't his mother, it was his caretaker. Omar Abaye, Omra li Aim, my Aim told me, Hai cholok di nuka, this bandage, this pouch, which they put around the wound, the bris of the baby, so this is the way it's meant to be applied. Lefanye le sitra le'ela. They should go ahead and flip the bottom edge, which is sitting by the wound. They should flip it upward. They should flip it, double it outward, so that the jagged, rough bottom edge should not be near the wound. Why? Dilma madbig gardemene, perhaps a thread from that rough edge will get stuck on the wound of the bris, and that could be dangerous because when they pull it off, v'asal de kris shavcha, he can become a kris shavcha. His bris can become mutilated and damaged, and it can preventing from the ability of having children. So therefore, be careful not to leave the rough edge near the wound. Says the Gemara, Imei de Abaye, so this Imei, this caretaker of Abaye, Avda Kistata Lepalga. So Rashi says that Tinoikis used to come to her, they used to bring to her children, babies, to fix their mila. So she would make Kistata Lepalga. Kistata means a lining. She would make a double lining. So it would have this pouch, and she would add another lining on the bottom half of the pouch, which was right near the wound, in order that the edge, the boundary, the seam of the pouch will not come into contact with the wound. Amar Abai, Hayinuka Lesley Choluk. This baby that does not have this pouch, what should we do instead to substitute Lysi Belisa? So you should bring a little piece of a material, of a worn-out material, the Islay Sifsa, which has a thick hem on the bottom. The hem is necessary to wrap around the bris because it will catch on snugly and tightly. And indeed, they should wrap the hem portion on the bottom, meaning near the actual mila. Now, the other part of the material, they should go ahead and have it heading upward. Va'ayef le'li'loi. And the upper section, which has this rough edge, it doesn't have the smooth edge like the imra does, like the bottom does. So the upper portion, which is the rough edge, va'ayef le'li'loi. So you should go ahead and fold it outward, meaning away from the body of the child, so it doesn't interfere with his wound. My aim told me, so this baby who's the area, the exit area of the waist is not discernible. What should we do? It's closed off, it's blocked up. So you should smear him with oil, which softens and brightens the skin. Place him opposite the sun. And where you see with something which is transparent, likare, you should rip it over there, besa'ata, using the tip of a barley, shesiv erev, go vertical and horizontal, meaning make an X there, and open up the opening. But only use this tool, avabikli matris loy, but don't use a metal tool, mishum dezarv, because it can go ahead and cause swelling. Varma abaye, omrali aim, my aim told me, hayinukadli mayitz, this baby who doesn't, is not sucking, mekar, who dekar pume? Apparently, his lips got chilled, and he doesn't have the ability to move them around properly. Maita kante. So, what is his remedy? Laisu kasa gumre. They should bring a cup full of coals, vilin katili ladi pume, and hold it next to him near his mouth, near his lips, the chaim pume. So his mouth warms up, omayitz, and he will begin sucking. Vamra baye amali aim. Aim told me hayinuka deloy mash manshite. A baby which does not have a is not breathing. Linfafe ben afasa, they should blow at him with a fan umanshite, and this will enable him to breathe. Vamra abaye omrali aim, aim told me hayinuka deloy ma'avi, this baby was not breathing properly. So the first one was at all breathing, this one is breathing but not properly. Laisu silta slita the ime, they should bring the placenta of his mother, the one which he was born with, and they should go ahead and smear it on him, rub it on him, umi avi, and this will enable him to breathe properly. My aim told me, hayinuka de cotton, this baby who is unusually thin and emaciated, laisu le silta de ime, they should bring the same placenta of lisharke livei and rub it on him. Now the placenta has a wide side and a narrow side on the other side, so you should rub it on him bikutna l'uma, beginning from the narrow side and proceed over to the wide side. This will enable him, this will cause him to gain more weight and remedy his situation. V'olim, but if he's actually overweight and bloated, me'um alakutna, take that same placenta and rub it on him, but do it in the reverse. Beginning from the wide side, proceed to the narrow side. This will go ahead and affect his situation and make him smaller the way he's supposed to be. V'omar abaye amali aim, aim told me hayinuka de sumuk. If you have a baby who seems to be unusually red, da'akati lo ivla be'dom, apparently his blood has not yet properly been absorbed in his body, so you may not do the mila yet. It's dangerous for him. Lisrechule, they should wait for him ad ivla be'dom until his blood is properly absorbed, vilamalua, and then go ahead. and perform the bris milah. The yorek, if you have a baby who seems to be green, it's a sign that the akati lo yinofo beidome, that his blood has not yet fully developed. Therefore, lisruchu, they should wait adonofo beidome until his blood is properly developed vilmalua, and then go ahead and do a bris milah. The sanya, as we know, as we learned in a brisa, Omer of Nosson. Rav Nosson related the following stories. Pamachas, one time, alachti l'charki hayam, I went to the cities at the sea, ubos, isha achas lefonai, and this woman came before me, she had a problem. Shemol ben rishon umeis. She did a bris for her first son, and he died as a result. Sheni umeis. The same thing happened with the second son. Shlishi, now she had a third son. She wasn't going to take chances. Heviyos lefonai. She presented him in front of me. Re'isiv, I noticed shu odaim. That he's extra red. Omarti lo, I told him, tiniloi, wait for him. Ach yivola b'idoma, until his blood is properly absorbed in his system, and then do the bris milah. Hamtinoloi ach yivola b'idoma. So she waited for him, hamtina, until his blood was absorbed. Umala ois, and then performed the bris milah v'chaya, and indeed he lived. As a result of this, v'yukoyin oisai, they began calling him Nosan Habavli. Al Shmi, they gave him Nosan HaBavli, after me, after my name. This was Rav Nosson speaking, because he lived as a result of Rav Nosson's advice. Shuv Pam Achas, there was another story, Halachti L'mdinas Kaputkia. So I went to this place, Kaputkia, Bas Yishal of Achas Lafonai, and this certain woman came before me. She had a big problem, Shemola Bna Rishon Omeis. She circumcised her first son and he died. Sheni Yomei, she did the bris milah on the second one and he died. Shlishi, when she was at the third son, there was already a chazaka here, a presumption that something was going wrong. She wanted some advice. She brought him reform me. Isav Shu Yorek. I noticed that he's unusually, it's green, it's not your typical natural color. It's Satsi Loiv Loiv Isav Dam Bris. I took a look at him and I saw that there was no Dam Bris there, meaning his blood was not yet developed properly. I told him, wait until his blood gets properly developed. Indeed, she waited for him, and then she performed the bris, and he survived, he lived, and they gave him a name, Nosan HaBavli. They called him Nosan HaBavli Al Shmi, on my name, because of the advice that I gave her. Let's take a Rashi inside here. Four lines from the bottom, says Rashi, the sumak, kol psari adam. His flesh is unnaturally red. Apparently his blood was not properly absorbed yet in his flesh. Apparently all his blood is to be found between his skin and his flesh. And what's going to happen? And when they perform the bris, all his blood will come out. It won't congeal properly. It won't clot properly. So you need to wait before you do the bris. The other case of the child who is unusually green. Apparently he has not yet had his dam come to him. Meaning, he didn't develop his blood properly yet. As a result of this, he's unusually weak. He has no koyach, and he can weaken very easily and die. So this is Rav Nosson speaking. I saw the baby. I noticed. He was green, it's Sassy boy. I took a closer look, by Dambris. He had no Dambris. Now Rashi is going to point out why this term, by Dambris. He should simply say he had no Dam. Why add the word Dambris? Says Rashi, Tate the Griusa. There are two deficiencies here. Number one, that it was dangerous, right? He had no, it wasn't developed properly. But Rashi is going to begin with the second reason. Chada di moile loinopak me dama. Because when they do the bris, blood will not come out. What's wrong with that? Va'atofas bris mitzvah. Dripping out blood during the bris is a mitzvah. K'dechsiv gam et v'at v'dam brisech. So the pasuk there references the concept of bleeding during the bris. In fact, the Gemara later will say if somebody is born already with a milah, you meant to go ahead and get some blood out, drip some blood out, because the bris milah involves also dripping some blood. It's an integral part of the bris. Blood is life. You go ahead and you give some of your life to Hashem. That's the creation of the absolute bond, the internal connection between the Yid and Hashem. So in any case, having some blood there is very important. So this baby did not have that option because his dam was not yet developed. We cannot do the bris yet. Va'oid, in addition, the simple reason, the mesukenu, because it is dangerous, m'shem chulsha, due to the weakness, shalei nitzah by adayin dam, since the dam was not yet properly developed. So on account of both these reasons, we want to delay the bris until the appropriate time. So that's the pshat that Nosna Bavli used the word, v'oreisi by dam bris. I didn't notice any dam bris. He meant to include both reasons. Number one, the weakness of the child. Number two, there's no blood that's going to drip out during the bris, and therefore, we're meant to wait for the proper time. Continues the Mishnah. Marchitzina sakatan, we bathe the katan, the baby, beinlifnei amila, whether before the bris mila to strengthen him and prepare him for the ordeal. Ubein la'achar mila, likewise, after the mila, we bathe him in hot water. Now it appears that it was the minute customary to bathe the baby before and then afterwards. Now, we're not speaking about actually cooking up, heating up the water. That's a different discussion that involves a malacha. That's connected to the discussion we had in the beginning of the perek, whether or not one may prepare, do machshirim for the sake of mila, to do a malacha, heat up the water for the sake of mila, according to Rabbi Elazar you could, according to Rukiva you can't. So that's a discussion on its own regarding heating water after the bris. So that's a situation of sakana. Now he really needs it, he's in danger. So that you may do, preferably through a non-Jew. But this is a different discussion. In our Mishnah, we're simply speaking about the concept of bathing him, the actual rechitza. We learned earlier in Masechet Shabbos that one is not meant to bathe his body completely in hot water. Rather, water which was preheated from before Shabbos, one may go ahead and do a partial washing, as pun of yad virago, face, hand, and feet, but not his entire body. The reason for that is because of a concern of the merchatzois, those bathhouses where the attendants would go ahead and heat up the water on Shabbos, as we discussed earlier in Masechta. So the allowance there is very limited. Likewise, we learned in a Mishnah, Daf Lamed Ches, when water was actually cooked up on Shabbos be'isser, one may not go ahead and use that water at all. So it's a takana d'rabban, gzera d'rabbanan, not to really bathe on Shabbos. So the first reason was on account of the bathhouse attendants. The other one, regarding the water cooked on Shabbos, is a knas, a penalty applied. You can't use it at all. Now Mishnah Obey is going to give us an allowance that to prepare the baby for the bris and to wash him afterwards, the chachamim pushed aside, overrode their issa d'rabbanan and allowed the rechitza to take place on Shabbos, even using hot water. The Gemara later will tell us, we're speaking about hot water which was either heated before Shabbos or even hot water which was heated on Shabbos. Nevertheless, the Chachamim permitted washing, bathing this katan for the sake of his mila. Says the Mishnah again, Marachitzin es ha-katan, we may go ahead and bathe the katan with hot water on Shabbos, bein lefnei mila, whether before the mila to prepare him for the bris, ubein la'achar mila, likewise after the bris mila, because it's necessary for his well-being. After the mila, he's in a state of sakana. Umizalfen olav biyad. Now, initially, it sounds like we can do a routine, a conventional bathing, marchitzen, without any restrictions. The Mishnah here continues. Umizalfen olav. Let me go ahead and spray on him and then cast upon him the water, biyad, using one's hand, so you can manually spritz the hot water on the baby. It appears that he can't do a conventional bathing in the hot water. The Gemara is going to ask that there seems to be a contradiction here. So the Mishnah continues in Mazalfan of Biyad, he can do it by hand, Avaloi Bekli, you cannot use a Kli to pour the hot water on the baby. Rablezim Razari Omer, not only can you do this on the day of the Mila, on the day following of the Mila, 1 and 2, even on day number 3, you may go ahead and bathe the child, even if it's Shabbos. Even on the third day, which falls out on Shabbos, because even then, the child is in a precarious state of health. It's a sakana, and bathing in hot water strengthened him, and it is required and necessary. How do we know even on the third day, he's in a state of sakana shenemar? Because we find in the pasuk, when Shimon v'Levi took advantage of the fact that the residents of Shechem did a bris milah, so they waited, and it was on the third day that they actually killed him out. So apparently, even on the third day, they are in a weakened state. When they were in a state of pain, they are in a state of weakness. So apparently, even on that day, there's a sakana, and one is allowed to wash the baby. Concludes the Mishnah. Sofek. What if we have a baby who is an uncertain baby, We don't know if he completed his full term of 9 months, or perhaps he is only a ben shmoyne chadoshim. He's only being partially developed, only 8 months old. In which case, Rashi brings, we cannot do his bris milah on Shabbos. So this baby who's a suffek ve'adregnus, likewise a baby who's born with male and female indicators. Ein mechalna olves haShabbos, we will not override Shabbos for the sake of the bris milah of these two individuals. Rabbi Yehuda matir ba'adregnus. He says one can be mechal Shabbos for the sake of the bris of androgynous. Rashi brings that he will learn it from a pasuk in the Gemara. Let's go back to the opening statement of the Mishnah, which seems to be a self-contradiction. The Mishnah begins, it can be marchas atinek, which seems to be allowing us to do it in conventional manner. The Mishnah proceeds, mezalfen, you can go and spray the water manually. Says the Gemara of Amr's Reisha, haven't you just told me, in the Reisha of the Mishnah, marchitzen, that ordinary bathing is allowed? The Gemara will give us two approaches to the Mishnah. Number one is Rav Yehuda and V'Rabba Bar Avoda Amr Tavayu, they both explain as follows. Keitzat Ketani, the Mishnah is simply explaining itself. The Mishnah begins, marchitzen es ha-katon, we bathe the katon bein l'tnei milo, whether before the milo, bein l'achar milo, afterwards. Keitzat, how do we proceed, how do we do this? We can't just give a conventional rechitza, mezalfenal v'yad. We can go spray the water on him manually, avalei b'kli. We can do it with our hands, but not using a utensil. We want to do it differently than the ordinary standard rechitza. Apparently, the zilof is sufficient to strengthen him, and we don't need to allow ordinary rechitza. Amar Rava, how can you explain the Mishnah in this manner? From rechitzen k'tani, the Mishnah is clearly speaking about rechitza. The Mishnah says marchitzen is akatan, which indicates just plain, typical, standard, conventional rechitza. How can you say you can only do it through spraying with your hand? Ella amar Rava, hachik tani. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Mishnah begins marchitzen es hakatan. One may go ahead and conventionally rinse, bathe the cotton with hot water, bay milafnei mila, whether before the mila, b'la'achar mila, but whether afterwards. Bayoy marishin kedarkoi. If it's the first day, as Rashi points out, even the second day, he can do it in conventional manner, without any limitations. Ubayam ashlishi shechalius b'shavos. However, on the third day, it's already at a distance of the bris milah, apparently his needs aren't so great. We don't need to put him through this standard rechitza, but a mere zlifa, mere spraying on him is sufficient to alleviate his danger. Therefore, mezalf and olav b'yad avalei b'kli. On the third day, specifically, we must limit. You can be mezalf olav b'yad. Pour some water with your hand, avalei b'kli, not using a kli. So this is the shita of the Tanakhama. So again, Tanakhama holds, day number one and two, there are no limitations. Day number three, you are limited to do mezalfen. Reb Lezer and Azari Omer, there are no limitations, blank check. Ma'achitzen esakota b'yom ha'shlishi, Shecholius v'Shabbos. Not only on day one and day two, can you do a standard conventional rechitza without any hesitations? On day three as well, since he is in a state of sakana, you can go ahead and proceed with a regular standard rechitza. Apparently, according to Reb Lezer and Azari, once the Chacham were matir, they allowed washing with hot water. We don't differentiate between this type and that type. We just proceed as usual. Shenemar, as we find in the pasuk, which indicates to us that on the third day, as well, the child is in a state of sakana. Shenemar vayiva mashlishi v'yosim koyevim. They were in a state of pain and weakness. So, in conclusion, we have two approaches to our Mishnah. The most stringent approach is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Bar Avo, who say that according to Tanakhama, there is never an allowance to do conventional rechitza. You must minimize. Rechitza was never allowed. This is a gzera, this is an isser to do rechitza with this hot water on Shabbos. Tanakhama allowed what's necessary. What is necessary? To spray water using your hand. And that is allowed on day one and day two, according to the Tanakhama. On day three, nothing. According to Blazer and Azaria, you can go ahead and do rechitza even on day three. Well, according to Rava, Tanakhama says, look, day one and day two, I allow rechitza. It's needed, it's necessary. We don't differentiate between washing, this type of rinsing, that type of rinsing. Everything is mutter. As opposed to on day three, where the need is not so great, we only allow to be mezalef biyad. Religion Azariah says, there's no difference. Day number one, day two, day three, you can do it. It's a sakana, and everything is allowed. can even bathe him normally. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei the Rava, we have a brisa in support of Rava's approach. The brisa says, Marchitz and Akata. We may go ahead and bathe the katan bein lifnei mila, whether before the mila, bein la'achar mila. Bayoyim rishon kedarkoi, on the first day, do it conventionally. Do it the regular way, the standard rechitza. As Rashi points out, we mean day number one and then day number two. Ubayim ha'shlishi shecholiyos b'shabbos, however, on the third day, if it falls on a Shabbos, where apparently the danger is not so great, his situation is not so severe and precarious, mezalfal v'yad, we have mezal, we spray, we pour hot water on the baby using our hand. So you must limit it, but that's only on the third day. Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Marchitzen es HaKotan, Bayam HaShlishi Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. According to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, there's no distinction between days. Day number one, two, or three are all equal and the same. And Rechitza, ordinary Rechitza is allowed. V'afal Pishen Rai L'davar, even though I don't really have a clear-cut proof, day number three involves danger. Zeichel L'davar, I have an indicator, an illusion. Shenemar, continues the Braisa. This is going back to the Tanakhama that says that on the third day you are mezalif. How do you do that? In what manner? When they do it, they don't use a kois or a lebekar, a bov, a lebekli, or a kli elabiyad. You must do it strictly using your hand, which will indicate that this is not really your typical bathing process. And apparently, this was not included in the initial gzeira, the issur of the Chachamim, which prohibited bathing on Shabbos. And the Gemara concludes, Asan Tanakama, this last statement, which describes how you're meant to be mezalif, apparently this is related to Tanakama, who indeed subscribes to this limitation, whereas according to Blazer and Zayi, there's no limitation of Ziluf, one may proceed with your standard Rechitz. So this Bryce is a right to Rava, who holds that according to Tanakama as well, Rechitza is allowed on day number one and day number two. Says the Gemara, but one second, why does Rav Elazar ben Azariah hesitate, so to speak? He says, I'll bring you an indicator, but it's not a proof. Why isn't it a solid proof? We see that the residents of Shechem were in a severe state of weakness, even on the third day. So why isn't that a proof? My afal b'she'en ra'ya l'davar, zeich l'davar. What does he mean to say that it's not a raya? Although it's not a solid proof, but it's a zeich l'davar, it's some sort of indicator for this matter. Why? Why not? Why not a proof? Says the Gemara, because there's a difference. The difference between an adult and a child. In Shechem, we're speaking about adults who went through the ordeal. Mishum de gadol loisalik bisra haya. When it comes to an adult, the flesh of an adult doesn't heal quick enough. Therefore, the wound festers and his weakness carries on for a longer period of time. So perhaps over there, they were in a state of weakness even during the third day. As opposed to a katan, salak be bisra haya, his skin is flesh, heals quickly, and perhaps on the third day, he's already passed out of the danger zone. Continues the Gemara. Hahu de asal kameh de Rava, there was this fellow who came before Rava with his baby, wanted to know whether he can go ahead and wash him and bathe him. So Rava ruled, he instructed him to do in accordance with the shita, with the opinion of Rava, which was that even on day number one, day number two, even rechitza is mutar, not only zilof. Ichlish Rava. Rava got weak, he got sick. And he attributed it to the fact that he disputed the other shitas. Omar, he said, Bahadi Targimna de Sabi Lamli. Why am I getting entangled? Why did I dispute? Why did I rule in dispute, in contrast to the, in opposition to the Sabi, to those elders, Rav Yehuda and Rav Ravua? Apparently, that's why I just got sick. Amalei Rabbanan L'Rav. So Rabbanan wanted to encourage him. He said, why? What do you mean? V'atani Kavasei, haven't we found a Braisa, which supports you, which clearly tells us that according to the Tanakhama, even according to the Tanakhama, standard conventional Rechitza is perfectly allowed during the first 2 days. V'atani Kavasei Demar. Haven't we learned like your Shita? Amar Lehus, he told them, you know, you're right. Even though the Braisa supports my approach, but the Mishnah itself seems to be indicative of their approach. Masnis and our Mishnah cover Sayu Daika. If you pay close attention to the wording of the Mishnah, the diuk, the inference of the wording, seems to imply that their approach is the correct one. Why? Mimai, why? But the Ka'amah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, since the Mishnah says, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah responds to the Tanakh and he says, Mar chitzenes akoton, b'yoyim ha'shlishi, shecholiyos b'shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah makes a statement. You may go ahead and properly bathe the child on the third day that falls out on Shabbos. Now, he's initiating Rabbi Elazar. He says, Mar chitzen, we may bathe. Says the Gemara, let's analyze. E amres b'shloimah. Now, if you say that Tanakama Mizalfakamar, it works well. Bishlema, if you say that Tanakama was discussing Zilof, meaning that he holds that even on day one and day two, all you can do is be Mizalof, you can actually proceed with ordinary, typical, conventional Rechitza, you're limited to do Mizalof. Now I understand why Rabbi Elazar responds by introducing a new concept. You weren't discussing Rechitza. I am introducing Rechitza as well. I say, well, when he's in a state of sakana, you don't need to limit things. The Chachamim did away with the gzeirah, their isra of rechitza. You can go ahead and do rechitza outright. Now we understand. Hainu dekamar le Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah marchitzen. Since the Tanakama disregarded rechitza, he only allowed mezalfin. That explains why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah responded in this manner. He said, look, you don't need to limit marchitzen es atinak. So this makes sense if the Tanakama does not allow rechitza. But if you say that even according to the Tanakama, Marchitzim Yamarishain, he holds that one may go ahead and actually bathe in hot water on the first day, Umizalfan Biyamashlishi, and come the third day, Tanakama limits things. He says, okay, Rechitz on the third day, it's not really necessary for his well being. Mizalfan, that's all we do, we spray the water. So now we understand the wording of Rabbi Elazar. Now we have difficulty explaining the words of Rabbi Elazar. Why? Because if the Tanakama has already discussed Rechitza on the first 2 days, his limitation, his restriction simply was defined to the third day. So why does Rabbi Elazar say, well, Marchitza Nasatinak, as though he's introducing a new concept of Rechitza? Tanakama agrees, theoretically, that Rechitza is allowed. He only says it's allowed during day number one, day number two. So therefore, says the Gemara, Hai Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Marchitzin. How come Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says Marchitzin is atinik? He should have said something else. Af Marchitzin Riboyli. He should have said, also Rechitza is allowed. Meaning, you Tanakama, who allow Rechitza on day 1 and 2, but don't allow on day 3, I maintain that on day 3, you can also go ahead and do Marchitzin. So apparently, Tanakama did not allow Rechitza altogether, even on day 1 and day 2. And that compelled Rabbi Elazar to respond in his manner, using these words. He said, well, you don't even allow Rechitza at all. Marchitza nesatinoik. I want to tell you something. Rechitza is allowed. So Rabbi maintains that this diuk of the Mishnah indicates that the most stringent interpretation is the correct one. Continues the Gemara. Ki osir Rav Dimi came to Bavel. He said, Omar Rabbi Elazar. He said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Halocha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who doesn't differentiate day 1, day 2, day 3, in all those time periods, one may go ahead and actually do rechitza, properly bathe the child in hot water. So Marav is in Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to know. They asked, "Harchatzas kalgufay?" Well, what's the topic of discussion here between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim? Are we speaking about washing his entire body? Or harchatzas mila? Are we speaking about specifically bathing, washing the place, the area of the mila itself, the wound? Omar lu ha'um rabban, so the certain rabbanon, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, his name is Rabbi Yaakov, responded to them. And he said, Mistavra, the svara is, it is logical that the topic at hand is actually bathing the baby's entire body. Harchatzas kogufay. Why? The isakadaita harchatzas mila, because if you would suggest that the discussion, the sugya at hand, is only referring to washing the area of the mila itself, but nobody allows washing the entire body. If that's the case, so how can that be a point of contention? How could there be a machloikis regarding washing the mila itself? Mi gara, is this worse than mi chamin al gabi maka? Is this worse than the halacha of putting hot water on a maka, on a wound? Amarav, Rav told us, ei meinim chamin v'shemin al gabi maka b'shabbos. One need not withhold from placing hot water and oil on top of a wound on Shabbos. Even a maka which does not endanger one's life. Even aim by sakana, one can freely do this. So why would there ever be a machlekes in our sugya? Whether or not one may bathe the child, we're speaking specifically just the wound area. So apparently, the discussion really is talking about washing the entire body. Maskev l'Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef challenged this. He says, how could you compare this to Rav, who's speaking about water which was preheated from before Shabbos, and that's why he allows it to be placed on a wound? Whereas in our Gemara, we're discussing water which was heated on Shabbos itself. So perhaps there is a debate of whether or not he can place it on a wound. Does not make a difference to you. Do you not differentiate between water which was actually heated on Shabbos itself, which is the subject of our sugya, in contrast to Rav, to water which was preheated from before Shabbos? Maskev l'Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi responded to this. He said, Omimai, how do you know that in our Gemara we're speaking about Bechamen Shochum B'Shabbos Pligi? That they are disputing and having a machlekes regarding water heated on Shabbos itself. Based on what are you saying that? Dilma perhaps, Bechamen Shochum B'Shabbos Pligi. The machlekes here is pertaining to preheated water as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Ano boy di shanile. You know, I really wanted to respond to his challenge. The Kadam v'shanile Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, however, preceded me, and he responded the same answer that I had in mind. What was the response? That apparently we're speaking about water, even heated on Shabbos itself. And that is the subject of matter in our Gemara. Why? Because what is the justification for bathing the child here? It's being done on account of danger, on account of sakana. So certainly, the allowance here applies to water which was heated on Shabbos as well. Itmanami, we learned likewise, that the discussion now of Gemara is referring to this type of water. And in fact, the Gemara will conclude that the discussion applies to any type of water and also to washing his entire body. Itmanami, we learned as well, ki asa Ravin, when Ravin came, he said, Omar, Rabavo, Omar, Velazar. Some say it was Omar Avo, Omar Yechanan, Ha'alocha, K'Rab Lezer ben Azariah. The halacha follows Reb Lezer's lenient approach. One may go ahead and wash him first, second, and third days. Bein b'chamen shulchum b'Shabbos, whether water which was heated on Shabbos itself. Bein b'chamen shulchum b'erev Shabbos, whether it was preheated from before Shabbos. Bein archotas kol gufoy, whether bathing his entire body, not only the mila area. Bein archotas mila, whether he's simply washing the mila area. Why? Because he's in danger. So one may do anything needed to preserve his health and to save him from danger. So in summary, we have the Tanakhama, we have Reb Lezer Nazari. Let's begin from Reb Lezer Nazari, which is more simple. He says you can be marchitz the tinoik, bathe him in a conventional method without any restriction, whether it's the first day, the second day, or third day. Apparently he holds that the isser of bathing on Shabbos was never applied to this case of a tinoik who's in danger. So you prepare him for the milah. You follow up after the milah, bathe him normally, and perhaps even if you can get away with being mezalef him, even perhaps if that's sufficient to maintain his health, Reb Lezer doesn't differentiate. He says, well, this act of bathing the tinek was never included in the gzera, in the issa to begin with. Regarding the Shita of the Tanakam, we have two approaches. We have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Avua, who had a more stringent approach. They hold. On the first and second day, you are limited to be mezalef. You can spray that water because apparently that is sufficient for maintaining his health. Therefore, you cannot go ahead and do rechitza, ordinary bathing. That's included in the Issa d'Rabbanan, who disallowed, prohibited bathing on Shabbos. On the third day, they hold, there's no need at all. He's not in a state of sakana. Rava took a more lenient approach. He says, on day number one, day number two, you don't need to differentiate. You can go ahead and be marchitza in a satinik. You can wash him in a conventional method. However, on the third day, apparently the state of danger is not so serious and severe. And that day, you are limited, and you must be mezalfin, you can spray the water, but rechitza, which is a more comprehensive form of bathing, that's usher because that was never allowed, midrabbana. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, we just learned, Amar Rav, ein moinen chamen v'shemen me'al gabe maka b'shabbos. We do not withhold from placing hot water and oil from a wound on Shabbos. Now Tosfos points out that he is being mechalish to us, that even if you mix the oil and the water together, you're making this mixture which appears like a remedy, like a refuah, it's still mutter because each one on his own is mutter. You can go ahead and place a preheated, pre-cooked water on a wound on Shabbos on its own. You can place oil, we learned that in the Mishnah, one can smear oil on himself on Shabbos because it's something which uh, ordinary healthy people do. Doesn't appear like a refuah. Therefore, Rav says, if each one independently is mutter, so even mixing it together is mutter. You're not creating a refuah here, and therefore it's mutter. Ushmul amar no. He can't place on the actual wound, in which case it would appear like a refuah. Rather, noisin chutz lamaka, he places outside the maka, outside the wound, the shoshis v'yari lamaka, and allows it to drip, to trickle down into the maka, in which case, it doesn't appear, it's not obviously being done for refuah's sake, and it's mutter. The Brisa says, "A noisin shemen v'chamen al gavi moich." One may not place oil with hot water on top of a moich, which is a soft piece of material, litin al gavi makah b'shabbos, in order with the intention of placing this soft, soaking moich on the wound on Shabbos. So, going to Rav, why is this asr? Says the Gemara, it's not because of refuah. Hasam mishum schita. Over there, there's a concern of schita that if he gets this thing wet, he might go ahead and actually squeeze it, extract the liquid, in which case he's doing a malacha of mefarik dash, extracting something from its encasement. So it's a different malacha altogether. Toshma, come and listen to the following kasha from this Brais on Rav. Ein noisten chamin meshemen. Who may not place hot water and oil agabi moich on top of this piece of material, shagabi maka, which is on the wound, b'shabbos. So we see that it's aser. Says the Gemara, some nami there as well, mishum schita. The concern is on account of squeezing, not on account of refuah. Tanya kavase the shmol of a brisa, which supports shmol a noisin chamen v'shemen al gabe makah b'shabbos. Who may not place hot water and oil on a makah on Shabbos, aval noisin chos l'makah, but he may place it outside of the wound v'shoishes v'yer l'makah and allow it to trickle down into the makah. Tanu rabbanu we learned on a brisa, noisin al gabe makah. One may place on a wound moich yavish, dry piece of material. Soft piece of material, v'sfaygavish, a dry sponge. Rashi explains he's simply trying to protect his wound. Avaloi gemiyavish, he cannot place this dry reed grass. V'loik sisin yavishin, nor may he place dry soft piece of material, which aid and assist benefit in the healing of the makah and its asr. Kashuk sisin aksisin, we have an inherent stira because the brisa begins by saying he can place the moich yavish. And then the Brice concludes, he cannot place these ksisin, which is exactly the same material, these soft pieces of fiber. So can he or can he not? Loi kashya, it's not difficult, it depends. Ha bechadati. And the Brice says he cannot. So he's speaking about new, fresh pieces of material which actually benefit and heal the wound. Ha ba'atiki. When the Brice allows, we're speaking about atiki, old ones, pre-used ones, which don't benefit and aid his wound. Amra ba'yishmam, you know we hear from here. From the Brisa that hamik sisin, these soft pieces of material, masu, they heal, have the ability to heal one's wound. So in summary, we learned about a maka on Shabbos. According to Rav, one may mix the water and the oil together and place it on the wound. According to Shmuel, he cannot do that. He places it outside the maka and lets it trickle into the maka. What about placing chamen and shemen on the moich? That's usur, because he might squeeze it. We learned that one may apply a moich yavish, a dry piece of soft material, which was previously used and therefore doesn't have the ability to heal the wound. He can place it on his wound. Likewise, he can place a sfoig of a dry sponge. What about placing a moich yavish, which was new and has the ability to heal the wound? Likewise, a gemi, a reed grass, that's usur, because one may not engage in doing refuah on Shabbos. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We learned that on Yom Tov, one may not sift his mustard, nor may he extinguish a wooden coal into his mustard, nor may he go ahead and form his cheese, because he can prepare that cheese before Yom Tov. He can go grind the seasoning. He can vigorously mix the yayin v'shemen. He can place the egg in the sifter. He can roast his meat on coals, because that's the only way to prepare fresh meat. He can go ahead and knead his dough to prepare fresh bread for Yom Tov on Shabbos. One may not vigorously mix the wine and the oil. It appears like he's preparing a medicine. But he can go ahead and mix them together if he doesn't do it vigorously. Rabbi Nassim told us that if a newborn is unusually red or green, he should wait until the situation stabilizes and allows the bris milah to take place. We learned regarding washing a baby with hot water before and after the milah. According to the Tanakhama, the approach in the Gemara, the first one was that on day number one, day number two, you can only be mezal if you can only spray with your hand. On day number three, you can't do anything. And Rava seems to have reverted to this approach. According to Rav Lezer and Azariah, on all 3 days, marachitzin, you can actually bathe the katan properly, conventionally, without any restrictions, without any limitations. And the Gemara indeed rules according to the Shita. And we concluded with the Gemara, which describes different remedies, which are considered, or which are not considered to be refuah on Shabbos.